Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri lawmakers will return to Jefferson City on Monday to take part in a high-stakes special session. Governor Mike Kehoe wants legislators to pass state relief for tornado victims, some unfinished capital improvement projects, and perhaps most controversial, an incentive package to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Missouri. This comes after the regular session ended on a bitter note. Senate Republicans forcibly cut off Democratic filibusters aimed at protecting voter-approved abortion rights and paid sick leave initiatives. And Kehoe told reporters this week he hoped cooler heads would prevail during the General Assembly's extra time.
This building is interesting that there are some raw nerves out there and some wounded feelings. And I'm asking them to consider that these initiatives that we will put before them are very time sensitive and very needy, especially when it comes to the disaster relief. So I think it's appropriate to put these forward and let the legislature try to do what it does and rebuild those relationships to the extent possible, but understand that the need, whether it's in a disaster community or in the economic development end, is very real and very time sensitive.
So, can Senate Democrats, who, by the way, are crucial to passing the Chiefs and Royals incentive package, forgive and forget? Joining us now to perhaps give us a preview of the special session is State Senator Brian Williams, who represents a portion of St. Louis County in the Missouri Senate. Senator, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Jason, thanks for having me on. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, too. What are your initial thoughts on Kehoe's special session?
Well, I think it's going to be complicated. There's so many moving parts. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the fact that St. Louis has went through probably one of the most devastating natural disasters that our region probably has ever seen. So I'm optimistic but very cautious about the fact that this may not be or maybe be the center of the special session's focus.
I mentioned the end of this year's regular session where Republicans force votes taking aim at voter-approved paid sick leave and abortion rights initiatives. You heard the governor's comments about raw nerves and relationships. What do you think about them?
I think he was spot on. I mean, you know, they're still highly disappointed. Just speaking for myself, I'll be confident to say a lot of the Democratic caucus in the Senate is very frustrated, very upset and hurt because there were a lot of voters who sent us there to do their work who had their will pretty much overturned by our colleagues on the other aisle.
So let's talk about some of that frustration, which played out this week. Democrats, right before that forced filibuster ending motion, promised to make life miserable for their GOP colleagues after they ended the regular session. And they followed through on that on Thursday when Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck delayed the ceremonial signing of passed bills by moving to adjourn. That forced Republicans to come back to Jefferson City today. I'll talk about the reaction to the actual motion in a second, but what did you think about what they did there?
Well, I think it's definitely not a good start to the special session. And, you know, one thing that I've always valued in the Senate is the rules and procedures. It's each individual senator's power, regardless of party, and it's how we conduct business. As most former senators will say, uphold the institution. And that was not done. Senator Beck made a motion, and that motion was not acknowledged, and that was completely inappropriate, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican. And that's something I'm disheartened by, and I think that those type of actions do lead to consequences in the Senate.
So what you're referring to is that Democratic Senator Stephen Weber of Columbia, who was in the chamber at the time, was enraged after Senator President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin and Senator Travis Fitzwater adjourned while Beck still had a motion on the floor. O'Loughlin called Beck's bid, quote, an unprecedented sneak attack, and all because they're mad that a procedural maneuver used by nearly every pro tem in the last 30 years was employed to stop abortion on demand in Missouri. You know, the Republicans have, like, talked about how the Democrats were trying to kill a bunch of really good things by this. I'm sure you've seen some of that. What's your reaction to the Republican messaging counterattack to what Beck did?
Well, first, it was not the Republicans upholding what previous leaderships had done over 30 years. It was Republicans overturning the will of the voters, first and foremost. This was not legislation that was passed. Voters went to the ballot box last election cycle and they exercised their constitutional right to open up our state to have access to reproductive health rights, and Republicans decided to overturn the will of the voters. That's what this is about. This is not about abortion. This is about overturning the will of the people, and that's exactly what happened.
So let's move on to the actual special session. We'll break it down into three parts. Kehoe's tornado relief plan would provide a tax deduction for disaster-related insurance deductibles, up to $5,000 of a deductible. And it would also expand the Missouri Housing Development Commission program to potentially help tornado victims. I've heard $25 million being, I guess, put into that fund. Are these proposals good enough considering the severity of the storms?
I've been out volunteering. I have family members and extended family that's been impacted by the storm, neighbors, people that I represent in University City that have been impacted by the storm. And we have came up with a estimate of close to $1.6 billion in damage. And anyone that's taken simple arithmetic can gather that $25 million will not even make a mark into recovery.
And to play devil's advocate, though, Senator Lincoln Huff told the Missouri Independent yesterday the reason why states don't typically provide direct aid to individuals after disasters because federal agencies like FEMA can do much, much more with more money. I think that the maximum benefit that somebody could get for home repair is like $43,000 per person, and they could get $43,000 for other needs. Is it even worth it for the state to do anything when FEMA looms so large in this process?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not going to pretend that the state financially could accommodate recovery to the magnitude of the federal government. That's just not the case. But when you think about that this storm has now impacted our region for almost 2 weeks, the president or the federal government has not stepped in yet. Since people like to talk about precedent in the past, we've seen instances where former presidents, former governors have stepped in within days and have provided more funding than $25 million, whether it was Joplin, Missouri, or previous presidents stepping in after a declaration of natural disaster, regardless of political party. We've seen the Biden administration and previous ones step up a lot sooner. This current administration has not stepped up in any capacity. There's been surveys, but there has not been any needle moved in terms of showing the American people, in particular St. Louisans, that they care.
The other aspect of Kehoe's special session call involves capital improvement projects that were left unfinished after the regular session. So for some background, for people that don't follow the legislature as closely as me or you, the House basically killed $500 million worth of projects, and Kehoe's call is seeking to resurrect some of them, not all of them. What do you make of the inclusion of these capital improvement items, especially as a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee?
Well, that's something I take very serious. One, getting a budget done by the constitutional deadline. Also, maintaining our budget and ensuring that we're not in a deficit. And then, most importantly, ensuring that the people in our state that need it the most are getting the resources through our state budget appropriation. So as a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, there was a lot of important things in House Bill 19, like funding for housing for veterans, clearly mental health hospitals. We've had so many different projects and funding mechanisms in that House bill that would help some of the people that need it the most. And to think that the House undercutted that process has been very concerning.
I mean, there are some feelings that subsequent budgets are going to be much tougher. Does it make sense not to spend $500 million when that can be used for core state governmental services next year, the year after that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been this really concerning tone that we should be good fiscal stewards of the state's money only when it's appropriate and convenient. We've cut funding from veterans. We've cut funding from community health centers and so many other entities that serve as safety net programs and create access for people who need it the most. Yet that's being completely overshadowed by subsidies to keep a stadium or a team in Kansas City.
Well, let's talk about that, because the Chiefs and Royals incentive package has prompted a lot of feelings among Missourians, including David Walls, who wrote on YouTube, "A good idea has no party. It's just a good idea. Keeping the Chiefs and Royals in Missouri is a good idea. Those who are getting in the way of executing a good idea are not representing the people's best interests." Now, let's be clear. There are a lot of diehard Kansas City sports fans that do not want those teams going to Kansas. And Kansas is making a big push to move them, what, 10 miles across the border? Is Keough wrong to try to keep these squads in Missouri with this incentive package?
Well, I think it goes back to a saying that my grandmother would always say when I was a kid, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So in this instance, it's not about whether or not we should work hard to retain the Royals and the Chiefs. It's about at what cost. And right now, the cost is potentially Missourians who have been impacted by a natural disaster continuing to suffer. Safety net programs, access to health care and necessities potentially being put on the back burner to retain a sports team that we all know have the capabilities that everyday Missourians do not, and that is to fund these stadiums and retain some type of commitment to Missouri without the state's contribution financially.
I do have to ask, though, is your caucus split on what to do here? I mean, I'm sure there's some Kansas City legislators that really want this incentive package to pass. I saw your colleague, Senator Barbara Washington, talking very highly of the Chiefs and Royals on the Senate floor. How does that affect how Democrats respond here?
Well, you know, we haven't had a chance to really start special session and identify what this is going to look like next week. But, you know, I think there's no secret that my colleagues in Kansas City should have some concern about wanting to retain those teams. And I don't think that's something that's not practical. But again, we're going to have to look at and recognize at what cost. And I personally, just speaking for myself and not our caucus, don't think that we should prioritize the Royals or the Chiefs over people who have been impacted by hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime disaster or some of the most vulnerable populations of people in our entire state not getting access to the things they need, like health care and things of that necessity.
Can't the legislature do all those things at the same time?
There is a possibility that the legislature can do that. But at the same time, it's going to require something that I believe in, both sides coming together, recognizing the need, assessing the need, putting the people first. I always stress to my colleagues on both sides, the St. Louis region makes up 45% of the economy, meaning any investment you make into St. Louis and or Kansas City is only good for the future of our state. But on the other side of it, government also works best, Jason, when it's close to the people. And right now, I feel like government is getting further and further away from the people and closer to special interest, and that concerns me deeply.
Well, let's talk about why Senate Democrats are so important here. I do not think the Chiefs and Royals package will pass without Democratic votes. There are some Republicans that do not like providing subsidies to sports teams. Senators Nick Schroer and Joe Nicola have expressed real reluctance to do that. I also saw a comment from Senator Bratton, who is the head of the Freedom Caucus. I think your caucus has a lot of leverage here, but I'm not sure how much the Republicans are willing to give up to get this across the finish line. Have they communicated what they're planning to provide as incentives to people like you, Senate Democrats, to play ball here? pun intended, by the way.
Yeah, that's a great pun. And again, you know,
I know.
One thing I want to acknowledge is Governor Kehoe has done a good job this session in terms of communicating with members of the Senate, the legislature. I've seen him in the hallways in the Senate more times than any governor. Honestly, sometimes I forget that he's the governor and still thinks he's the lieutenant governor because he's so engaged. So I give him credit to that. But I think at this time right now, we're at a very unique time. And I think the decisions we make over the coming weeks is going to have a lasting impact on our state in ways that I can't even describe. So do I think it gets done? It's going to be very, very difficult. Do I think Senate Democrats play a huge role in this? Absolutely. And I think where we are as a caucus, where we are as individual senators is going to matter more than ever.
I'll throw out an idea. I mentioned the tornado relief tax deduction for insurance deductibles. I did the math on that. And if you have $100,000 in taxable income and you somehow have a $5,000 deductible, which a lot of people don't, it's usually around $2,500 for a house, $500 for a car, you would get maybe $240 in relief. Is a possibility making it a tax credit, which would make it significantly more expensive, but that would probably be more impactful to people who are dealing with this, even if they have insurance.
Yes, it would be. And again, you did those figures. And, you know, based on what numbers have been provided to us today, that's not going to move the needle for anyone. So I think we're going to have to explore some type of package. I think it's going to be really imperative that we deploy tools within the Department of Economic Development. We look into the Missouri Development Housing Commission and really see what tools the state has to really make, in my opinion, tornado victims whole. And right now that has not been fulfilled.
And my last question for you, I want to look into the future a little bit. 2026 will be your last year in the Senate. We've been talking about how the Democrats are not going to let the end of the session go. Is the legislature going to do anything next year if the Democrats filibuster the journal or make it procedurally very difficult to get anything other than maybe the budget done?
I hope that's not the case, but at the same time, it's not about how you go about things. It's about how you really handle them moving forward. And right now, based on what we've seen yesterday and going into next week, we're looking like we're going to be in a situation where there's going to have to be some growing pains. I think our colleagues on the other side of the aisle is going to have to come in good faith and acknowledge that the body should not operate the way that it did at the end. And, you know, I always leave with optimism that there will be things that we can find common ground on. But right now, I think a lot of my caucus members and colleagues are deeply hurt and disturbed by the way that the session ended. And I think it will have a lasting consequence unless leadership steps up and acknowledge it.
Maybe the way to bring the Republicans and Democrats together in the Senate is to realize that Jim the Wonder Dog should be the state's official dog and throw Old Drum to the curb.
I wish it was that simple, but I think it's going to require a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's going to require more than just symbolism. But we will see, and we will be watching the special session, which begins on Monday very closely. Make sure to read our coverage from St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg, who will have an overview on Monday morning. And State Senator Brian Williams represents Missouri's 14th senatorial district, which takes in a number of municipalities in St. Louis County. Senator, thank you so much for joining us today.
Jason, thanks for having me. It's always great to be with you.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.